founder of the Fellowship of Merry Christians, began urging churches to tell jokes and inject humor into their services on the Sunday after Easter. Hal Samra dubbed that day Holy Humor Sunday. The idea is to boost attendance. Oh, that's funny. He says the idea is to boost attendance, which tends to dip dramatically a week after the biggest Sunday of the church calendar. Says an unsuspecting visitor to a church celebrating Holy Humor Sunday might be disoriented because the choir could be wearing bathrobes. The sermon might be interspersed with jokes and skits. Mirthful tunes like Zippity-Doo-Dah might replace classic hymns. No exact count of how many churches participate, but that was the article. So, I mean, my lesson is look on the bright side, but we're not going to celebrate a Holy Humor Sunday in 2 weeks. So. Look on the bright side. In 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 8, very familiar scripture, but it exemplifies, illustrates this thought. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Oh, the bright side. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Oh, the bright side. Persecuted. Oh, but not forsaken. The bright side. Cast down. Oh, but not destroyed. Oh, the bright side. And that's our lesson this evening. Look on the bright side. Now think to yourself, I'm going to begin a phrase, and I know you can finish it. I said, the sun will shine tomorrow. Tomorrow. But the sun will shine. Every cloud has a silver lining. Clouds, silver lining. The darkest hour is just before the daylight. With the San Diego Padres and Chargers, there's always next season. The next verse, I'm going to spend some time on the next verse. In James chapter 1, beginning at verses 1 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Again, the lesson is look on the bright side. Identifies himself first, James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or manifold trials. And when I fall into trials or temptations or struggles, I count it all tragedy. I think of it's a wrench in the works. I'm going along smoothly, and now there's a detour. But James says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into manifold trials. Knowing this, key phrase, that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, not wanting nothing. First phrase is count it. All right, we're going through a trouble or trial, a struggle. Count it. What does that mean? It means when you have some hardships, stop and think about it. Consider it. Deliberate. Look or focus. Count. Look for the bright side is our time of our lesson. Ponder. I'm going through some hardships. Yes, but now give it some serious thought. Give full awareness of what you're doing. Count. Then it says, but count it all joy. Oh, second thing, count it all joy. Now, when you stop and think about it, not in the sense of being giddy or laugh. That's not what the meaning of that word joy is in this text. He's not saying be Pollyanna. No, he's not saying to say, oh, goody, goody, I get experience in another trial. No. But consider the struggle or the moment that we're going through all joy. Meaning, consider it that here's an opportunity for a peace that passes all understanding. There's a joy. When you think of joy, it's a state of well-being or contentment. I'm going through troubles and trials. Oh, but there's a bright side of contentment. I'm going to perhaps, when I count this trouble and trial I'm in, maybe I can experience a triumph. There's a joy in that. Maybe when this, even in the midst of trouble and trial, I can feel good. I can sense that everything's all right. I can sense that there is a shelter in a storm. You ever get caught, maybe when you're shopping or whatever, just maybe on a trip or something, and all of a sudden there's rain, and you seek a shelter, just or maybe from the wind, and you say, ah, but there's still a storm going on, isn't there? But you have a sense of joy or contentment that you are sheltered from the storm. Count it, ponder, chew on it, think about it, count it all joy when you fall into these manifold trials or hardships of any sort, or you're experiencing grief, struggles, knowing, the next word, knowing. What am I supposed to know? Well, I have a difficult time right now. I want to chew on it. All right, there's a blessing in this. There's a joy, a contentment that I need to get out of this or to experience, even though I can't eliminate the trial. Knowing means you need to have confidence in something. When you know something, you comprehend. When you know, you understand. You grasp. You perceive. You are aware. You show practical judgment. No. You know, I had that heart attack a little over a month ago. Wait a minute, how can I have any kind of contentment with that? Oh, there's a hospital. Yeah, that's right. It's on the bright side. And it? Well, it's not nearby. You know, I had a flat tire yesterday. Oh, but I have a spare. And it has air in it.
That's always the good thing.
There's always a bright side, and I know how to change it. So it didn't take long. It was just a matter of minutes to get everything out and do it and get back home. Knowing. There's something about a knowledge of a situation that gives us a joy or a contentment or a shelter in the midst of the storm. Knowing that the trying of your faith, oh, now my faith is going to be tried in this. That's right. Am I going to stay close to God or not? This is going to try my faith, this struggle. And we need to know that faith will be tried and faith will be tested. Because remember, we're experiencing in that first verse I read in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning of verse 8, there's going to be perplexion, there's going to be persecution, we're going to be cast down. And so in those times, our faith is going to be put to the test, or it's going to be strained, or it's going to be taken to, and it's going to be taken to the proving grounds. But knowing that the trying of your faith is going to work patience. That's one of the products of having our faith tried. I can't eliminate the trials. But in the midst of the trials, the faith gives us the victory. And there's a joy knowing that we can remain steadfast and stay on God's side. Count that when you're going through hardships. Oh, wait a minute, I've got to ponder this thing. I mean, I've been through things like this before. I'm going to pull in all. There's a bright side to that situation. Romans 8, verse 28. All things, or we know, there's that word knowing again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Not everything is good. God didn't cause the bad, but He says, I can bring good from that. Give you an example. This week marked the 16th anniversary of the death of Christine's sister, her younger sister. She's 40. in that story, this whole week, I thought about this, her death, because the actual her death date was last Monday. And I just couldn't get that story again out of my mind. So I want to tell you something about it. There were some unexpected troubles all the way in this event. One of those troubles was that Christine's dad, Daryl, lived over in Chino Valley, Arizona, just north of Prescott. And he was going through a bypass surgery. And then, but Darylene and Christine went over and visited him for the week of the surgery. Darylene didn't tell her, and Christine didn't tell their dad about it because he just had bypass surgery, didn't want to put undue stress on them. And Darylene was going in just a couple of days when they came back from that trip, in just a couple of days, was going to have an angiogram procedure at Scripps Hospital. Because she was going to make her have to have a valve replacement or repair. Well, that day that Darylene, Christine's sister, went in for that angiogram and that surgery, we got a call in the early afternoon to call the family into the hospital. Things weren't going unexpected trouble. Uh-oh. Well, where's the bright side? Well, Daryl and Wilma, Christine's parents, are in Chino Valley, Arizona. We want them to come over here because really the word was that Darylene might not make it. All right. So the bright side is Jim and Sharon. I think if I make a call to them, they can get off work. Since they work for the school district, it might be easy. So I called Jim and said, Jim, would you ride with me over to Gila Bend, Arizona to pick up Daryl and Wilma? And then Christine got on the phone during this time, and she called a good friend that we have, church members that live also in Chino Valley, Bill and Kathy. Would you drive Daryl Wilma to Gila Bend, and Jim and I will drive over there and pick up Daryl Wilma and bring them back, because we don't know what the situation is with Daryl Lane. The bright side. Yeah. So we began to make that trip, and then Sharon went with Christine up to the hospital. Oh, bright side. I don't have to go alone. I don't have to drive alone. When Jim and I went to pick up Daryl Wilma, there's a Love's truck stop and a McDonald's right there, so we drove fast. We drove fast. I'll tell you the end of the story. I think we made the round trip in 9.5 hours, something like
Yeehaw.
That. So he'll have been in that. But after we picked Daryl Wilma up, we're coming back this way. Well, and we didn't know what was going to happen. They just got out of one car and got into ours, and we just turned around and came back on the freeway. There's a rest stop just this side of Gila Bend. I think that's the bright side. So we didn't have cell phones back then, 1999. So we stopped to make a phone call home to see where should we bring Daryl Wilma, to our house or to the hospital. Jim called, and I think Christine answered the phone. No, we're here at the house. Darylene died. She didn't make it. Oh. Now what are we going to do? So we stood there for a few minutes, kind of planning a strategy of how are we going to tell Daryl Wilma in the car. But we did. We got in, and we rehearsed the events about leading up to that sign. But she didn't want to tell you, Daryl, that she was going to have this angiogram. So good thing Jim and I were there with them. So we sat in that parking lot just a few more minutes to kind of just collect our thoughts and talk for a moment. And back on the freeway. Now it's getting dark coming back this way. And coming up over the mountains, it was really getting late, almost midnight probably now. And Jim kept saying, oh, you want me to drive, Ryan? You want me to drive? No, I got this. I mean, the white lines and the fog, couldn't see 30 feet in front of me. Halfway up, it's midnight, I said, okay, Jim, you drive. I'm glad he's with me, a bright side. But Jim didn't tell me until 3 or 4 days later, Brian, I was just as sleepy. My eyes were burning too, just watch those white lines just come at us and the fog. But we got here. When there wasn't going to be a viewing. Darylene's husband didn't want a funeral. He's going to have a, she's giving her CPR, but it didn't work because the valve didn't work, and it was just whoosh, 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 whoosh. It didn't do what it's supposed to do. But they finally wanted to take her up just to do the surgery anyway. And she died. But Dennis and Pam made those arrangements, especially with arrangements for us. So the bright side of that, Dennis made those arrangements. And Daryl and his brother Leon and myself set ahead of set time one evening, and Dennis met us up there and took us back to that hallway. And I remember it was on the right-hand side. We turned, pulled in here, and then Dennis opens the casket for Daryl to take his last look at Daryl. When we were making the funeral, Christine and I were making the funeral arrangements, and then Pam, always, since she was working that afternoon making the arrangements, she kept coming in, everything going okay, everything all right, bright side. Every time there was seemingly a struggle or a trouble, there was a bright side. We had the funeral here at the building, memorial service. And people kept asking me, are you going to, I wanted to do it. I want to do Darylene's funeral. And so I made all those preparations. And Terry McCormick, who was a preacher here at the time, was preaching in Bostonia. And he knew Darylene, he knew our family, we were good friends. But so he came to her funeral, and I was sitting up here, and he came and sat beside me. Ah, bright side, bright side. He said, Brian, if you falter, I got you covered. I'll finish the eulogy for you. Wow. I didn't need him. That's interesting. Taking Daryl and Wilma back to their home in Chino Valley, at the week or 10 days later, we stopped in Yuma in the middle of the afternoon at the Burger King. And there was, well, the restaurant was here in the door, and when I pulled in, there was a spot right there at the sidewalk in the entrance of the door. And so I pulled in, and when we parked, the wheels were still, you know, at an angle. We were in there eating, and a stranger walked in. Of course, they're all strangers to us. Everybody there was a stranger. Walked in and says, who has the green Mercury Villager with California plates? Who wants to know? All right, my hand goes up. He says, your tires are bald on the inside. In fact, you can see the wires coming through. Now, Jimmy, you remember we were driving 80, 75. We were going over to get there. Both members, both ways. We got on those bald tires. Oh, yeah. At least on the inside. I don't know. I'm looking. Oh, no. Now it's 3:30 in the afternoon. He says, he seemed to know the town. So he said, where's there a tire shop? Well, there's a Goodyear place. Go down this way. That gave us direction several miles just into the city of Yuma. Got there, they were filled. They didn't have, no, we can't take anybody else. It's almost closing time. Closing time. Oh, that's bad news. Oh, but there's any place else. But, oh, there's a Firestone. Ah, bright side. So we get to the Firestone place, and they took us right in. And they had the type of invitation. Whosoever will make come. If that's your desire, we